Welcome to Know That, a deep dive into the week's Real Housewives episodes, where we offer our humorous, insightful, and unfiltered opinions. I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And this is Know That, a Real Housewives podcast.
Before we begin, we have a huge announcement. We are on Patreon, y'all. If you want exclusive content just for our subscribers, head to www.patreon.com/knowthatpod. We're offering bonus episodes, unedited behind-the-scenes videos, and even the opportunity for you to be a guest on our Patreon. Head to www.patreon.com/knowthatpod to get started. Our first bonus episode is going to be The Big Shot with Bethany Frankel on HBO Max.
I'm excited for that, kind of.
This is big stuff. I'm excited too. I was going to pretend like I wasn't going to watch, but I'm going to watch. So
well, now we have to.
It. I know. Now it's kind of like we're forced to, but I would watch it anyway. And now I'll just be able to talk about it. So it's good.
I can't say that I would have watched it, but I am going to watch it so that I can talk about it with y'all.
Aw.
Thank you. You're a real sweetheart.
So how's everybody doing? How you guys doing?
I'm terrified. I'm getting by the time people listen to this on Wednesday, I'll be getting my wisdom teeth taken out. And I almost canceled the appointment like 7 times. Anything comes up around the apartment, I'm like, maybe I should just cancel.
It's true. I've had to talk about it like twice.
It won't be as bad as you're thinking, but it'll probably be a little rough. I had mine out just a few years ago when I was 18. And it's a rough few days, but you get to eat like ice cream and stuff and just kind of hang out.
Okay. I think that's my biggest, because everyone has a different story about it. Like, some people are like, you'll be down for the count for like a week. And other people are like, just the day of hurts. So I don't like the not knowing.
It's like the day of and the next day for me were really rough. And then, of course, you feel that someone has done surgery on your mouth like for a week.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're not, you can like go places or whatever that means for right now, but go about a day in a way that doesn't feel like it's ruined. But it'll be rough for a little bit, but just take the drugs they give you and stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Drugs.
How are you?
Good. Boring, I guess. I don't really have like a thing to come to come talk about. I don't know.
Yeah, we started this podcast in quarantine and we're still in quarantine. I can't wait until we finally have stories to bring back for this part.
I know. There's only like, I mean, I work from home. I do this from home. I podcast from home. I only step out for like a few things that I do weekly and various appointments. Sometimes I might go to eat with Brian and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like it's not really, I'm not really setting anything aflame. So, I mean, that's about it. I've been reading a lot, which I know is probably fun for people to hear. I'm very excited about Brian Moylan's The Real Housewives book that's coming out next month. Kind of like, I think it's supposed to be a kind of similar version of Ladies Who Punch, which I famously read, Donnie, when we traveled to DC. I read it on a bus. Was it a bus?
Yeah, it was a bus.
That you booked us in the front. Say this really quick, because I forget it. I just know I was scared. We were sitting on the top of a double-decker bus, like right behind the driver. So like
no, above the driver.
Yeah,
so that sounds like a mega bus, which sounds like a mega nightmare.
That's what it was. It was both, right? It was a mega bus and a mega nightmare.
So then when we like went under, when we went under like signs on the highway, it looked like we were going to hit them. It felt like an amusement park ride.
Oh, yeah. It was like the threat of decapitation every 5 minutes, even though we were inside. But I read that book on that trip and I love it because, you know, I love the view. Anything where women are together, I love that. And I feel like this book is going to be a little bit like that. So I'm excited.
Do we know who he interviewed?
Well, I think Bravo, of course, is not endorsing this book. It is not like an inside job. He interviewed a lot of, I believe, producers and people who work behind the scenes who were able to talk to him kind of like off the record. And I think he spoke with ex-housewives because he was on a podcast. I hope I get this right, but we'll see. He was on a podcast recently-ish where he said Bravo had sent out notices to all the current wives and maybe even past wives, and some just didn't listen, saying like, don't talk to this man about this book.
Oh my God.
But at the end of it, he says what he learned, he said this too, was that like the Real Housewives is actually like more authentic than he thought going in. So I'm excited to kind of see what that means.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Love that. Quinn, how are you?
I'm fine. As some people know, my father passed away last week. So I've been pretty much dealing with that and all my family stuff. And that's pretty much taken up most of my week. I was still doing some work though, but nothing really major. Yeah, but now that I brought down the mood.
Well, thank you for being here today.
Yeah.
It's a real push. Like, I didn't want to see y'all again, but I was like, I probably should, you know, gotta come back sometime.
Plus, I could just walk in the other room and force you to see me anyway.
Unfortunately, that's true. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on to see me, Quinn, and I'm happy you're here.
That was the biggest push of all, and you're welcome.
I'll big push you down the steps if you talk about me like that again. Hi.
Hello. Hey.
And now we can welcome our guest, which is Chelsea of the Oh No Bravo fame. Welcome to the show, Chelsea. Well, welcome back. You're like our first repeat guest.
Am I? Wow.
You're Thank not. You but he but he tells that to everyone that is a repeat guest. So.
Donnie, you could have let me. Too. Yeah, you could have let me just like think that I was special for just a moment. But no, Donnie has to go shit on my parade immediately.
That's Donnie. Mm.
Well, welcome back regardless.
Thank you, Anthony.
For people who don't remember you here the first time, do you want to tell them about Oh No Bravo and what you do and all the entertainment you give us on the interwebs?
Sure. So you can follow me at Oh No Bravo. Just chaos over there. I don't know. I've lost my mind officially, so I can't really describe it. But I do Instagram Lives on Friday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I need to get all of you guys on at the same time. I've had Donnie on, but I'd like to get the trio if I could, now that we've practiced room so well.
That would be so much fun. Yeah, I'm sure you can get us all more easily than I got all of us on.
And if not, she does hers for an hour, so it won't be as much of a percentage of the
Anthony's
time.
Anthony's mouth dropped open. Anthony's mouth dropped open when he heard
an hour, the stamina.
Well, I mean, you guys do an hour-long podcast every week, sometimes more.
That's true.
That's true. And the live we did was a half hour. It's only twice as long as that.
Yeah, but 10 minutes of the live was trying to get us all in.
I was going to say, you're being generous, Quinn. They are 20 minutes at best.
I'm just that kind of guy. Okay, so the gang's all here. How about Anthony? How about you take us to a little magical place called New Jersey?
Yes, let's go. Let's go to New Jersey. We finally got confirmation from Teresa's mouth that she is dating. This has kind of been something that she's been talking around for a while, and she would kind of like shoo-shoo it away when everyone brought it up. I kind of loved the scene where Gia was on the phone with Juicy and like Melania was in the room, and it was kind of like, I don't know, like a chaotic sitcom scene where we were finding out that like the separated or divorced parents of these girls were both dating. I loved it. I want nothing but the best for Teresa and Juicy, I guess.
It was great. It was sitcom-y, but it was like real life too. Like I felt like that I was really watching a family, which I love seeing. Dolores and Frank Jr., that scene was like very scripted. Like Frank Jr. will come in, you'll tell him you're getting a mammogram. I didn't feel that at all with this Teresa scene.
They're like, you'll act just like your father, exactly like your father. He's not available right now, so we need you to be Frank.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't even think of that. But of course, there is like when you step back, you can think, little Frank would be like asked to go into the room and your mom's going to tell you something. And you're right. That was something that was like probably staged where, like you just said, Teresa's felt authentic.
I almost almost felt like Teresa's was on accident. Like she was shooting with Gia for a different reason. And then Juicy Joe called. And then, cause like Teresa was not, and Teresa doesn't always film with makeup, but like she was not in glam. She was not prepared for this specific scene. And like her face was as red as any of the men on Jersey. Like she was a tomato. She was very, very nervous about that going down.
Yeah. And then she saw that it was like something substantial. She was like, oh shit, you're going to have to use this, aren't you? It was like that kind of thing. Yeah. I can't do it. You'd have to do it, Anthony.
She was embarrassed. Like, for some reason, I felt like she didn't want Melania to hear. Like she kind of did this like weird kind of like hand motion where she was like, gestured widely to Melania and was like, I don't know. There was like a weird energy. Like this was Gia could handle this conversation, but Melania was not supposed to hear it or something like that. Even though Melania doesn't really care and seemed fine with it all.
Yeah. And I think part of it too was Melania was the one on the phone with him. And Melania told Teresa that it was okay that she was dating. And she was like, you told me it was okay. And then Melania was like, I told him the same thing.
It was cute.
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, moving right along. On Marge's yacht book reading event, her and Jen kind of rehashed, but also resolved their issues in relation to Marge telling the story about what the incident or the relations with her boss were. There was processing issue on Jen's end, Marge says. And then Jen says Marge might have a delivery issue. Regardless, and I think we've to various degrees have, rehashed and kind of litigated what the problems might be. But it was nice to see them come to some kind of understanding, and certainly for Jennifer to understand, no matter what she might have thought at first, her interpretation of what Marge was trying to get across was incorrect. And it was nice to see kind of Jennifer know to take her foot off that pedal a little bit and just kind of, you know, stay more in her lane than she had previously there.
Yeah, because even when she started to like push the gas a little bit, she still knew to back off ultimately.
I felt like I was so relieved because I am kind of a Jennifer apologist. I find her to be so delightful even when she's being terrible. And this was one where I was just like, oh, you're so wrong. And hearing that, like this episode was honestly like kind of tough for me with the Marge stuff. Like it just brought up a lot of stuff. And I think probably a lot of women, certainly listeners, probably had similar experiences or know of people that went through similar things, because it's such a gray area. And I found myself kind of reflecting on certain situations that I've been in where it was like coerced, but like, it's just not, you can't put a label on what it was. And it just makes you think. And so after Marge shared that story, I was like, oh my God, if Jennifer still doubles down, like I'm going to have to jump ship. So I was like, so relieved. And I was like, oh good. Okay. You're not that much of a monster. Like you heard that story and you understood.
Yeah. I will say that I like that whenever housewives write books that they have them read a passage out of it. I always look forward to that. And with Marge, you just have to understand that no matter what Marge is reading, she reads it like it's a menu. And not like at a table, like a menu where you're like walking down the street. Oh, let's see. What do they have? Let's see. They got steamed salmon. They got crustaceans. Like that's just her delivery of it.
The book, or at least the passage Marge read outside of the actual like story she was telling, did feel, as most housewives books do, like a book that like a third grader would read. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like, let's call him Dick. He had all these stonewashed jeans like the Garment District men. How do I know? Because they were all rolled up. Like it was very like, who wrote this?
Pressed his namesake against me. That was my favorite part.
That part reminded me of, you know, when Alice and Janney writes that book in 10 Things I Hate About You. She's like his quivering member.
It was like that. It was nice that they came to a resolve, though. I think even Jen said she respected Marge, so she would like to get on the same page. I mean, someone has to respect Marge, so I'm happy Jen does.
Do you think the water was really choppy, or do you think there wasn't enough room to film and they needed someone to stand on the dock with the camera? Ooh. Because once she was done reading, they were like, okay, we can go out now.
like COVID compliance. They couldn't have the camera crew on the boat. There was too many people or something. It looked like a beautiful day.
It did. And as soon as she was like, and that is it. And then they were like, all right, the water's clear. Let's hit it.
So I liked when Jackie asked a follow-up question about her, you know, because Jennifer talks about what she's going through, and Jackie asked the follow-up questions about, like, you know, but what about that? Like, what'd you say about your family? And I was like, good to see you earning that paycheck, Jackie. Good work.
Jackie was stomachable this episode.
Yeah.
A ringing endorsement for Jackie. Stomachable.
The day didn't make me sick.
The day on the boat did seem long. When a few of them got there, Marge was like, we're going to have drinks and apps. Then we're going to go on the water. Then I'm going to read my book. Then we're going to have lunch. Then we're going to have sundowners. I was like, how the fuck long are they there? But to kind of continue that thread on the topic of her book, Marge and her mom sit down and talk about the content in the book that deals with Marge's mom not being, I'll say, what Marge wanted out of a mother, and kind of, you know, what Marge Senior's shortcomings were. And that also ends on a happy note, but I've been tough on Marge. I did love that scene between the two of them. I thought it felt real. I always love the photo they keep using for Marge when Marge is like, I was young, I was wild, I was gorgeous. And it's a photo of young Marge with like a cigarette out of frame, her mouth again. And it's like, this is what we have for that? Okay.
Quinn, who did you say she looked like in that picture?
I said that she looked like one of American Psycho's victims. Like he would have... The kind of girl that he would have picked up at that, what's that club that he used to go to, that tunnel, whatever it was, and they do all that blow in the bathroom. Like, I feel like she would be the girl that would come with the blow.
Oh my god. And... This is a big no that night for Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah, it is. All the women in that book that he like had flings with, like, in my mind, they all look like young Lauren.
My thing about Marge Senior saying you didn't tell me, I'm of two minds. One, why did she think Marge would tell her? But two, Marge should have told her before Marge Senior was reading it. I feel like Marge just handed it to her like Regina George handed out those papers at the end. Like, read up, bitch. But I do think there could have been some sort of warning.
Maybe like just a Cliff Notes version. Just yeah. Like, here, by the way, here's a summary. Here's a book report about what you're about to read.
Yeah,
it is possible.
I was sexually harassed, just so you know.
Yeah,
you were a terrible mom, just so you know.
Yeah,
just so
you FYI, know. Bullet points. It is possible maybe Marge had a conversation with her mother off camera and this was like for show, but still.
I forget conversations happen off camera, but you're probably right.
I love Big Marge, so I'm on her side about Marge's childhood. She did the best she could. Yeah.
It was nice to see that she like took accountability. I feel like that's a nice change of pace for Bravo. Usually when we get these like mother-daughter scenes, we have like Dorothy, Candace's mom, just being the human equivalent of like a hangnail, you know, just the worst.
I really don't like her. That woman really.
She's my biggest trigger on Bravo. I see Dorothy and like right now, you guys can't see it, but they can. My face is getting red because I'm just getting angry at the thought of the woman.
And she has a degree.
Don't even get me started that she is a therapist.
Yeah.
It's incredible to me.
Dorothy's wild.
That's the way it goes. As in she should be caged. Yes. Yes, she is wild.
Oh my god.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Also wild was Melissa trying to have a sex talk with Antonia.
Gross.
And then telling her boobs were huge.
Yeah, this was like, this is uncomfortable.
It's like, how many different ways can I traumatize my young daughter on national television? I feel like it's
right.
It was odd. It was an odd place to have the conversation because Antonia was in the thick of picking out clothes. So like to link up, no matter what she was picking, like things for her body and how she would like express herself clothing wise, and say like, this is cute, this little tube top is cute, and like mix in a sex conversation felt like an odd, like, I don't even know what my point is, but it just felt like an odd kind of mixture of two events. Like, it can't really be those two things together.
I think Melissa knew she wouldn't want to be a part of that conversation. So having her out of the house and in her store almost like trapped her into it, which is sick to think about, but it's exactly what I think happened.
Can I tell you guys about when I trapped my mother into having the sex talk with me?
Of course.
Please do.
So let me set this scene. Like, picture it now. I am 16 years old, pink hair, pink braces, missing canine teeth, just the whole package. Been dating my boyfriend for a couple years now. And my mom had always said that when the day comes that you're going to have sex, just tell me, let's get you on birth control. Let's like make sure you're safe. So I had just gone, I had a lot of teeth issues growing up. And so I had just gone and gotten a new retainer thing that went over the entire roof of my mouth. So I was talking like dish. And I decided that on the drive home, that was the moment. That was going to be my time. And so I looked over at my mom and I knew that she was stuck in this car with me and she couldn't escape. And I looked over and I said, "Mom, I think I'm ready to have sex now." And the car was silent for literally a minute, like a minute of dead silence as my mom is just white knuckling it, looking straight ahead. And then she looks over and she's like, "Thank you for telling me, Chelsea. I have to be honest. It's kind of hard to take you seriously now, but I will call your doctor in the morning."
That's incredible.
Oh my God.
That's one of the best stories I've ever heard.
I don't want to steal the floor. But I feel like there's not really a time for me to tell this ever. And you warmed me up. So here we go. I'll probably edit this out because as I started warming myself up for the story, I was like, don't tell it. Don't fucking tell it. But now I already gave you all that. So here we go. The sex talk I had with my mother was after I already had sex. And it was early on in my gay sex career, so I didn't exactly know how to prepare. So I shit on this gentleman's bed and I came home and told her. And then she said, "Do I have to buy a new comforter for him?"
I forgot about that story.
Please do not edit that out, Donnie. Yeah, please. If that story has to live in my brain, it also has to live in everyone else's.
It's not even the first time I ever heard that story or the third time, and it never gets any better.
So thank you, Antonia, for leading us down this.
I think that we all learned a little something today.
Anthony, I know your mom listens, but do you want to tell a story?
Would you like to give your mom a shout out right now and let her know about your sex life?
Hi, mom.
It's time you had to talk.
I have nothing to say that matches with any of that. I'm just going to awkwardly shuffle us along to Jennifer's mother party.
This seems like a good segue.
At the Taj Mahal. Or as Jackie says, the Taj Mahal, if the Taj Mahal had a huge mortgage and no furniture. I see.
There it was, ladies and gentlemen. The most clever thing Jackie ever said, and no other housewife was around to hear.
Jackie is a housewife with no storyline or anything interesting to say.
Know that. See you next week. Yeah. You're right. She's so boring.
Oh my God, I can't breathe.
I wanted to go to this party. Yeah, I thought the food looked great. I love Jennifer's sassy little daughter.
I love her.
Her dress.
Love her. A star was born.
Yeah.
She really was. I love both of her daughters.
Me too. Me too. I didn't like having to see Jackie's mom, who I famously don't like. I find her parents weird.
I'm just glad Jennifer's sister wasn't there.
Oh my God. I swear between Donnie hating Jennifer's sister and you hating Jackie's mother.
I don't get good vibes from Jackie's parents. I don't get good vibes from Jackie. The only one I like is the brother.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Eric.
Sweet. I love Melissa's mom. I want more of Melissa's mom. She's like hot into it.
I want to see a picture of Melissa's grandparents. There's something going on in that family. Somebody black. I don't know who it is, but it's on her mother's side and somebody is black. I like her mother too. I don't like Melissa, but I like Melissa's mother.
Melissa's mom makes Melissa more likable. Like,
I agree.
I like her so much that suddenly in that scene, I was like, wait, Melissa's not that bad. And I was like slapping myself like, shut up. No, she's terrible.
She's the worst. She is the worst. The absolute worst.
I think
the only downside of All Stars for me.
Yeah. Melissa it just everything feels false. It's like we're seeing like a version of a person who like exists, but then we're seeing the version of that version of a person that they want to show us. I want like someone who's emotionally available.
She should have been a friend like, of on Jersey Shore.
Yeah, like I feel like the mom is like, when the mom teared up and like grabbed Teresa's hand, I was like, that's what I want from a housewife.
You know how when child stars are like cute kids, so then they continue acting and they get ugly and then everyone's like, oh fuck, why did we let this happen? I feel like that's what happened with Melissa. Oh, yeah. Because they brought her in third season because they knew that her and Teresa didn't get along. And then like we got too far and everyone's like, how did we get here?
Melissa being there, like at this point, is a waste of space. She's taking the place of, I think Jackie is such a glaring disappointment because we have this non-story that we constantly get from Joe and from Melissa. And if those were people who were delivering, I think Jackie would be a totally different
off. True. What was going on at the end of the episode when Teresa left and then they made it to be continued like it was some kind of big deal?
Let's not do this to be continued unless we really need it, Bravo.
Yeah, they're getting very liberal with their to be continues. And it's not working.
And I know it's just because there's going to be more of the party next episode. But if it's not anything juicy, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be continued just because you want the next episode to begin where the last one left off. Like, that's not really what that's for. Because, like, soap operas did that 5 days a week, and it wasn't to be continued. It's just how things work. As a guiding light fan, I know these things. Where are my guiding light heads at?
Message me. Next episode, Teresa's going to return, and her evil twin is going to try to murder her.
This isn't a sex story, but I, and my mom knows this, I impersonated an actress from Guiding Light on AOL and got her AOL account shut down. I was impersonating an actress called Laura Wright. And one, I would come home from school and go online and like take questions from fans. They'd be like, you know, what kind of toothpaste do you use? And I'd be like, Crest, and like ridiculous stuff that no one, like ridiculous. And one day someone from CBS messaged me and says, are you the person pretending to be Laura Wright? And I'm like, I am Laura Wright. And then they go, I'm looking at her right now. And I was like, whoop. And I deleted the account. But then they deleted our like overall account. And that's just a little bit
of how old were you?
When was AOL a thing?
96? Yeah. Like 99.
This is probably 1997.
Okay. So wait.
97, 98. So I was like 12, 13.
So wait, instead of telling a sex story, you told a coming out story?
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right.
Okay. Wait, I have a few follow-up questions. Number one, what was the username?
Wait, now I'm getting confused because I used something today for like different things that Cis guy, because her name was Laura Sisk, right? But now I can't remember if, no, that wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have had Cis guy to be her. God, what is wrong with me? Why am I talking about this? I think it was like L Wright 98 okay. or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, casual, casual. It wasn't like, this is Laura Wright 123.
No. But yeah, I did that for a little bit.
Chelsea, what other follow-up questions do you have?
You know, just the one, actually.
Yeah. No, I'm here. I'm here for when there's more. That's it.
We'll cover it in the Patreon.
Yeah,
we could have a whole Patreon, a deep dive into this.
We could. That's
Can you do a Patreon where you are in character and we can ask you questions? Fans can submit questions to Laura, right?
Oh, my God. What's so funny is it was all like searchable stuff. So I would just Google her and find out like, oh, she was roommates with Kelly Ripa when they were starting out. And I would just like reference that in conversation with people and they would be wowed. Like it was very much like before there was any, it was when AOL hit. So like there wasn't even a catfish. There wasn't mm-hmm. even really impersonation.
You were the original catfish.
Yeah. I invented wow. catfishing.
I will be Photoshopping your face onto Laura Wright in honor of this episode dropping. So just prepare for that because it is happening.
Oh my God. Look her up. She's beautiful. Still beautiful. Laura Wright.
I will have to Google her to figure out who she is.
She played Cassie on Guiding Light, Reva's sister. And one more thing.
And one more thing.
Then I would. Okay, never mind. We're moving on. We're moving on to Atlanta. We're moving on to Atlanta.
No, please. I said no. I shit on someone's bed.
Next time. That's a cliffhanger. That's it to be continued.
And Bravo. Now you reference this, so you gotta edit that out too. No, I said, and now you reference the shit again. So now you have to edit that out too.
No, I'm like,
just keep it all in.
Yeah. Lots of editing. You'll just scream so you know. Ah! Is that what you do?
Yeah. Ah!
So you know where the jump is. Ah!
I feel like I'm somehow responsible for the unhingedness here, and I apologize. Ooh,
this is crazy. Okay, Quinn, take us to Atlanta. You're not, baby.
You're really not.
Oh, good.
Yes, we're gonna go to Atlanta.
That'll calm us all down.
Jersey went somewhere dark. Okay, so we start off this episode with the first part of the Atlanta reunion, colon schnooze fest. But I want to know what everybody likes about the looks. What are your favorite reunion looks? I personally really liked Candy's dungeon mistress wrapped up tight plastic hair look.
I hated it.
Saying I didn't like that one. I didn't like that either. The one that actually, like, when I saw it in person and I saw the hair and the dress, I think Kenya was my favorite. I thought Kenya she looked beautiful.
I agree.
They all looked to varying degrees does. Beautiful, but Kenya was like, oh, this everything is working for me here.
Yeah, Kenya was my favorite. I think Candy was probably my least favorite, but she was the only one that dressed on theme. Like, if they all just kind of wore black and they were like, now we're dominatrix. It's like, no, actually, you're just wearing a beautiful black ball gown, but good try.
Portia literally wore for Cynthia's wedding.
Portia looked liked too. Candy's because I thought it was fun. I thought it was like, it was a costume. I thought she matched, you know, the theme of the set. So I like that. I do think the Kenya looked great. I did not like Drew's.
I forgot what Drew was wearing, so maybe I agree.
I didn't like Drew's hair or her outfit.
Mm. Yeah, I forget it too. It didn't leave an impression on me either way, I don't think.
I think that's actually, the bar is so low for Drew and her fashion this season that I think her not leaving an impression is actually a good sign.
Yeah.
Is she like, wait, didn't Teddy have that problem on Beverly Hills? Like, didn't she have like fashion faux pas issues that they had to like step up?
Yeah.
She had like horse girl fashion.
Yeah, so maybe like she'll change her fashion as well.
It could happen if she's brought back.
She's going to have the season 2 glow up where she gets a glam squad. She gets people in her corner sliding in her DMs being like, let me style you. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
She
with
had
that.
The double whammy too. She was a first season housewife in a pandemic. So she really was at a disadvantage because she was not going out like to be able to get glammed. Like she was in her house.
True.
That's true.
I still liked her better than Wendy. I like Wendy. One of Wendy's, Dr. Wendy's confessional looks still haunts me.
The purple one?
The one with the wig that looks like a backwards Jerry curl. It's very...
The Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's... But wet. Farquaad, but wet. Like that's... But dry. Wet and dry. Like a Dunkin' Donut sandwich. Like somehow... Greasy but dry. So I think Drew did better than that. Mm-hmm. I like that they talked about the pandemic weight, which they all lost too sweet, by the way. And I found that very, you know, humanizing since, you know, a lot of us have gained some pandemic weight. But my favorite moment is Cynthia hugging Mike because of what the scale told her.
And Mike immediately throwing it in the trash. That's
that
the man that
scale.
Yes. That's a man that sticks behind
you. She had to
you.
Embrace him afterwards. He was like, I don't think people realize that for a supermodel, how hard it is to be almost 200 pounds. But love that. I love that moment for them. That's when I was on their team to get married. I was like, that's the one for you.
That was cute.
I just love, like, Andy Cohen never fails to make me groan because it's like, he does his Andy Cohen voice and it's like, we've lived through a global pandemic and the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement. So let's start this reunion by talking about how fat you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, come on, read the room, Andy. Like, we're starting with this segment. Really?
Yeah.
He always starts with their looks. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. What was the joke too in there? There was a joke in there somewhere, like in the setup before they showed the montage. I can't remember it, but I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was bad. And his voice is always so insincere. Like, you just did. It's always like,
that's just him.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have us on Watch What Happens Live, Andy. We'd love to come on. Thank you. Love you.
I appreciated the footage of Candy shoveling it in. I know that I would love that if I was her. I would love going to the reunion and seeing just a repeat of me shoving food in my mouth.
Was Candy the one at the beginning when the cameras were in their room when they arrived? Was Candy the one who was like, I'm not a morning person, so y'all can just turn around and get right out? Was that her?
Did you see that? Yeah, that was her.
I was like, wow.
That is actual footage of me waking up my 3-year-old for daycare every morning. She's like, out. No, I'm not camera ready.
Ooh, it's so hard. It's so hard to wake up a 3-year-old. Like, any kid that's like under 5, you have my sympathy.
Thank you. Thank you.
They do not want to wake up.
No.
I don't blame them either. After that cringeworthy weight shaming that Andy did, which is his specialty, we have a discussion about Kenya's costume and Kenya's defense of wearing her Native American garb. Every Black person's favorite thing to say, I'm part Native American. I didn't expect that argument from her. I should have expected that argument from her, but I didn't.
I did think it was interesting. Like, Kenya had those examples for when Drew and Portia's sister had done the same thing, like, at the ready.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I wish that she had cut out. Yeah. I wish she had cut out the start of it and the end of it and kept in the middle. That was really good of like, when you know better, you do better. I talked to this organization. I've learned X, Y, and Z. Here's why it was problematic, and just keep it like that. But of course, yeah. Kenya's not, doesn't do that. Like, Kenya always, she's the best at this, where she kind of like almost gets you where you're like, all right, okay, Kenya, that, yes, yes. And then she takes it too far. And it's like, she started out with the like, I'm actually part Native American, so it's fine. She has the good centerpiece. And then at the end, she's like, and also you and you, like, how dare you, you know?
I didn't.
She did her research though.
Yeah. And that, okay, so we all know what she should have done was just the middle section. But I don't have a problem with the end section because these two are attacking her, finding joy and saying that she was wrong. Like, everybody knows she was wrong, but these two were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So for her to say like, well, you two have examples yourself, that didn't bother me. But maybe that's because that's what I would do.
I also feel like there's nothing, like, then they should have, if they know these pictures are out there, then just acknowledge it too and be like, yeah, exactly. Like, when you know better, you do better. There are pictures, I've learned, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've talked on my Instagram. There was like a Cowboys and Indians party in college that still haunts me to this day that I participated in. And it's one of those things that, like, if you've done it, acknowledge it and be honest about it and then apologize and do better. But it's this hard thing because, especially with reunions, it's a sports game. Like, you want to win, you want to come out on top. And it's just like, there's no middle ground for being like, yeah, we're all kind of assholes, you know, because you're trying to win the reunion.
Yeah. There's no like normalization of mistakes at the reunions.
But Drew could have been ahead of the game. I mean, I guess she didn't know Kenya would do that, but there was the pushback about Kenya when the episode aired. So Drew could have said, like, I did this too. Not that she would want to volunteer that information, but if I were her, I would know that this photo would come out about me. So, like, beat them to the punch, kind of. Yeah. Because now Kenya tweeted it today, and she said, does this look like something honoring a grandmother? And it is... Drew in a costume posing next to someone who's dressed like Dora the Explorer.
That's messy as shit. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's not a good look. So, speaking of, you know, back on Drew and Kenya, so we have Drew's son Josiah and the whole situation with old daddy versus new daddy and him brother, and Kenya commenting and tweeting that she felt that it was inappropriate for them to have that happen on camera, which actually me and Donnie had said before that, and we totally agree that it's very cringeworthy to have that happen. I personally agree with Kenya 100% that it was something that should have happened outside of the show. And we all agree with, I would assume we all agree that with that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. In theory, if we could have a time machine where we know that this relationship works out and it's like, this is the start of a blossoming relationship and it's captured on film. And we know 10 years from now, they have this amazing father-son relationship and it's there, then fine. You know, then it's good to normalize this. A lot of people go through it. I understood what Candy was saying, but we don't know that. And so I would hate for this relationship to not work out. And then the only documentation this young boy has of his relationship with his biological father is now just like this really awkward lunch where his dad showed up late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it might have even have been different if Josiah was the one who wanted to go meet old daddy. But that's not how it was presented to us. It almost seemed like True and Ralph were kind of initiating this meeting. And I'll just say, so it could be a part of this program. Like it seemed, I wasn't getting like Bravo was capturing something that was happening anyway. And I would have been a little more comfortable if Josiah was the one who we could see that he was excited to meet or spend time with or reconnect with old daddy. He didn't seem to want to go. He didn't want to be there. So I'm uncomfortable with it. And I don't, not that I have to be comfortable with it, but that's when I'm on Kenya's side. Like, it was cringeworthy. Is that different coming from a cast member who's on that show with Drew, where she would be that hurt? Maybe. But also it's just cringeworthy. And what I took away from it was that maybe Drew got a lot of pushback about it and Kenya was a safe place to put that energy and emotion.
Yeah, she didn't even acknowledge like that part of it about herself. She automatically said like coming for the kids is not something that we do. But she didn't. She came for you about what you did to your kid.
Yeah, she wasn't endorsing someone saying that Josiah was cringy.
Right.
Like it was like, you know, I didn't take it as that. And it's odd to be on the side of giving Kenya a little grace, but was it
right classy? Right is right, wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it classy to retweet or like that? Probably not. But guess what? I agree with her.
And I've had some followers DM me and they had like pretty good points of in their experience of being single parents, that it's important to them that they're documenting the attempts that they're making to give their child a relationship with their other parent. And that way it is documented of like, here are the times that I've tried to make this work so that if and when they go to court, they can say, this isn't me like trying to erase this parent from my child's life. They haven't been here. They haven't shown up. Mm-hmm. So I get it from that angle. If Drew is trying to do the right thing by her son, but also being like, and look, I'm showing it on TV. I just feel like there's a way of going about that. If that's her motive, where you're showing the setting up of the meeting or you're showing a call with Josiah. I just think having that entire scene on camera is just a lot of pressure in an already really hard meeting for this child. Like this is a very delicate situation for this young boy. And it's just like, it was cringy. Like it was cringy to watch.
It was. Yeah, I felt bad for him.
I would have felt differently if it would have been a situation where she wanted to like, okay, we'll meet and we'll talk about what you want. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see by what you want to do if he's open to that. And then you and he can connect if you want to. That way it would have still been part of her plot. It wouldn't have put it squarely on asking this boy in front of America, do you want to have a relationship with your father? Do you not? Like that, that's a lot for him to have to answer in any way, let alone with a kitchen full of people.
Yeah.
A kitchen full of people and a big chunk of America watching him do it. That's what is in a lot of ways disgusting to me in a way for what I think the reasoning was for it to happen. It was just as, you know, cringeworthy and disgusting, like with Melissa having that talk with her daughter. But at least I feel like that's fake. Like, I believe she already had that talk with her. But anyway,
right.
Yeah, I don't think that Kenya was wrong for that. Of course, Kenya had to do it in a way that was incendiary, but that's just who Kenya is. So we have LaToya coming out, and I actually like the way LaToya looked, to be honest.
She looked good.
We had her coming out.
Yeah, she looked good.
Yeah, I guess so. LaToya comes out, and she comes out swinging hard at Drew. And she is swinging hard, but she cannot land a thing. I think it's funny when people who are slow-witted try their best. I find it very humorous. And that's what we saw with her. And what did she call Drew? SpongeBob? That was almost funny.
I don't even get it.
I would think it's because she was saying she was shaped squarely.
The proportion.
If I was hearing that, that's what I would hear. So there's that. But like I said, nothing landed.
She also called her Drew Snora, right?
At Drew Snora.
Oh, yeah. That is cute.
See, I think the bat didn't even get off her shoulders on that one. There's a whole other syllable that she forgot if she's trying to be clever. It's Sonora.
Well, then,
so,
but it's close.
Sonora.
Sonora, yeah.
Sonora would have been. We don't have to get into semantics here.
Donnie's trying to workshop this.
She wanted to come out and roast her, and she was barely able to start a flame. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, LaToya was under the weather. She had a cold, a liver infection, and a UTI.
It was a lot going on, but
kidney infection, LaToya. Not liver. Sorry,
I know.
Kidney infection.
Repeat that. Anthony didn't hear you.
I love LaToya. I love her.
You love LaToya?
I love her. I can't help it. I've tried. I know it's not socially acceptable. I know.
Chelsea, really? You and I normally always are in sync.
That's like, not true because she also liked Candace, so you cannot say that.
Give me a second. We normally are on the same wavelength about things.
I know.
And my problem with Candace, if we're going to backtrack, I think Candace is hilarious.
Amazing.
I think there
housewife.
Are a lot of things to, I think there are a lot of things to like about Candace.
Amazing housewife. Like Candace. Say it, Quinn. Amazing.
I won't say that. But I will say this. I saw her on the episode of Family Reunion with Kenya, and she's pretty talented. She's a good actress. She does good accent work. She's a lot more talented than I thought she was. And she's actually a damn decent singer.
I prefer her as an actress and singer over a housewife.
I'll give her that.
Candace is a good singer. Candace sings well.
I think she's the best housewife to put vocals to a track. I'm just going to say that.
Agreed.
As far as she's the best singer. but I won't say that she's the amazing housewife.
All right, that's fair. You've given her a couple of compliments. I'll take it.
I have not been a fan of LaToya, mostly because of the fact that LaToya is so like desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last episode, I liked LaToya.
See, that was the episode all season I've been trying to bite my tongue because I know that it's not socially acceptable for me to be a LaToya stan. So I've been closeted, but this last episode was my personal coming out party because LaToya dancing in front of those carolers. Iconic.
She was singing the wrong Christmas carol.
Like, she is so unhinged in a magical way. I do not want her to be a full-time housewife. I want her to stay as a friend of and be that tornado that comes to town but once a year. And I find her to be, because it's like, there's magic in how calculated she thinks she's being and how badly it hits and how she is not even playing in the same arena as these women, but she's coming out of that thinking that she won the fight. But she's like in the parking lot being like, hey, you SpongeBob. Like, they do not know she's a person, but she's like coming out of that being like, I'm a real housewife of Atlanta.
If the housewives are the main event, then she is in the parking lot scalping tickets.
Yes. But she thinks that she's the main event. And I think there's something so magical about that.
I don't like disrespectful LaToya. I do not like that. But that last episode with the Christmas carols, that did two things. That made me like LaToya. And it made me remember why I liked Kenya. When she said, please get away from my car. That whole moment was magic. Mm-hmm. So I will say that I am not a LaToya fan, but I am softening to LaToya. And I'll leave it there.
Anthony's about to quit the show.
I'm hearing everything you're saying, and I will just respectfully state that I don't get it. I don't get it. I
you like Lisa's husband, and I'll let that go. You like Lisa's husband, Lisa Barlow's husband, and I'll let that go.
Oh, yes, yes.
We can just
that's
agree.
That's not the same level as
No, this. That's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I love John
It's the
Barlow.
Same level of I can't believe that. I believe that is the same I don't even know. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I do love John Barlow. I just, LaToya this entire time has, I just haven't connected with her. Not that I need to, but I haven't even been entertained by her. And I feel like I feel like I can't get in there. Like I feel like I would maybe connect with her a little bit if Bravo got me inside her story. Like, don't you feel like LaToya is behind glass and like we can't get at her? I want to know about like her upbringing. Does she have siblings?
No, I want her to stay behind the glass so I can just point and laugh at her. That's how I want to keep her. Because you're not meant to get her. You're not meant to connect with her. She is here for our entertainment. Like, you can't write a better character because she thinks she's producing a YouTube channel, but she is not in control of the narrative whatsoever. But she thinks she is.
Oh, yeah. She's a YouTuber, right?
Yeah. She's producing her own YouTube show. So she's coming with her pre-rehearsed, like, I'm going to edit this to make me look really snappy and witty. And she shows up and it's just like, you, SpongeBob, and you, blah, blah, blah. And it's just
Drew
it's
Snora.
Okay. I understand what you are saying. I am not having that experience with LaToya.
He refuses to have that experience.
No, because
and I don't blame you. No, I don't blame you. Trust me. I'm not. If that last episode hadn't happened, I would have still been on the same page as you, Anthony. I would not.
I loved her and the Christmas stuff, but that is the only time. And I'm not going to give 3 minutes of liking her. I'm not going to let that change my opinion of her.
It also didn't help that within like the same, I don't know, like time frame of like 5 minutes, I went to not really liking Drew.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
So
team anyone but Drew. That's who I was that episode.
And I was a really hardcore Drew fan, but after the playing with the prophet stuff, I'm gonna have to say it's a no for me, dog.
That is exactly, yeah. I was really liking Drew all season, and I was like singing her praises on my Patreon and being like, maybe I do like the voice of reason. And then she decided to put on a one-man show. She was playing an improv game with no one else, and no one was saying yes, and she just continued and continued and continued.
It's ridiculous. I should have known when her mother was a pastor. It was my first red flag. But, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, religion is not, you know, bad. I just hope that it wouldn't be the case, but it took long enough and then there it was. I want Drew arguing with her husband back. That's the Drew that I want back.
Yes, agreed.
This rebranding of their marriage is getting on my nerves.
Yeah, they definitely...
A mess. Let's dig into it more.
They definitely came to the reunion like with their notes, like on the same page of like, we are going into this way. We will not like deviate from being on a good path. They definitely are not, like, they're buttoned up on their end, I think.
Ralph frightens me. Like, I, by the end, was liking him and found him really charming, which tells me that he's terrifying behind closed doors because he can, like, turn on that charm. And even at the reunion, like, he was, like, laughing and taking all the jokes and, like, ha, ha, ha. And he was so good at it. And I was like, maybe he is just, like, this good guy that was going through some stuff at the start of the season. I'm like, no, he is a monster. Mm. Like, this man knows how to put on the charm. And, like, I will never forget that he was spying on her in a teddy bear nanny cam. Like, I will never forget that.
Yeah.
No, never trust a big booty and a pretty smile. Facts. And that is Ralph. We have, to wrap this up, we have Candy in the furthest seat away from Andy. Is she in trouble or something? Or did he hate her costume too?
I feel like Candy's never really in trouble. Like, I feel like as long as she wants to continue to do this show, they will let her, in terms of that furthest seat being a sign that maybe she's in trouble for next season. I just think maybe she didn't have a lot going on this year and it didn't make a ton of sense to not have her furthest away, maybe, is my guess.
I feel like
the Black Lives Matter stuff probably pushed her.
I feel like, and this is from no insider information, just from my brain, I think Candy is going to get a spinoff, like a Vanderpump Rules style spinoff on one of her restaurants. Mm. She's going to have her own show on Bravo. And I think her time on Atlanta is coming to an end because she was kind of like co-moderating. She wasn't really like involved at all. Like, I just feel like she has outgrown the show and it's time for her to move on and be one of those faces we get excited to see when we like get her at a party. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I think they are filming a spinoff at Old Lady Gang. I think I heard, maybe.
Hmm. Not Blaze,
which I would like to go be a patron at.
Yes.
I would like to be a patron at Old Lady Gang as well, but I think it's Old Lady Gang.
I would also like to be a patron at Lamethia Lounge.
I still want to go to Mark Daly's restaurant in Brooklyn.
We should go on a tour and just get drunk at each and every one of these places and demand to see the associated Bravo star.
Well, listen, if Oz taught me anything, they never go.
No, it's just us drunk going, where's Ace?
I love Ace. Well, I guess that wraps up Atlanta and that brings Chelsea to the end of her time.
It does, because I got a message that said, I do not watch Dallas. All right.
Thank you for coming and sitting with us and dealing with this craziness, Chelsea. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
No, yeah, thank you guys for having me. You guys are the best.
You are. You're right.
Thank you.
You'll have to come back for a third time soon.
Yeah, please.
I hope you will be the
first person to come back a third time.
I don't know. Anthony might not have me back after my LaToya love.
No.
That's okay. You can come back.
Tell everyone once more where they can find you.
Sure. Am I doing my Know That? I have it ready to go.
Yeah, I was going to let you plug yourself first.
Oh, sorry. Here I am producing your show. You can follow me at Ono Bravo on Instagram. I do Instagram Lives on Friday nights, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I've been putting most of my time and energy into my Patreon, so check me out over there.
Perfect. Is there anything we should know?
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yes. Leah McSweeney from New York is going to have a terrible season. You will all see the truth. I will have told you from the beginning that she is not as cool as you say that she is. Know that.
Ooh,
that was a good one.
I got a chill.
I'm co-signing that because I think you're right.
I think she's right too.
And that is not BS negative.
I'm done. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Chelsea.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
It is a lot, ain't it?
Jealous.
I don't know why she doesn't watch
it. The question is, why should she watch it?
Because why do we is the question.
I'm enjoying Dallas. Is that weird?
I can't say that I'm not enjoying it, but I can't fault people for not watching it.
Overall, I would say, like, yeah, you're fine skipping it. But this episode, and let's just get right to it. As soon as those credits started, I was in awe.
I was tickled.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Once I figured out what it was, because I don't know anything about Dallas, but then I was like, wait, this must be the Dallas Open.
I didn't really get it at first either, but I just knew it was different and I loved it.
Yeah, what's odd is I don't really know the Dallas credits either, but as it started, I like instinctively knew what it was, like through osmosis somehow. I was like, oh, this is Dallas. But I don't really know.
I came from
a
Dynasty household, so I wasn't really sure. And I was like, this looks like Dynasty. It must be Dallas.
But even so early in the episode, we didn't even know why. But it still filled me with joy.
Yeah, I loved it.
I love that the producers put that amount of work in it just for that one episode. I love it.
It's incredible. Then we have, after those incredible credits, then we have Deandra and her shaman. And we've discussed him before, so no need to get in detail exactly. But what in the hell? I just feel like he's a, you know, when people call you and it's like scam likely, I feel like that's what happens when he calls her. They were doing that, like they were doing these things that are very clearly a part of other cultures that he knows nothing about. When they were doing the things with the nuts and stuff, he literally had M&Ms in there. Like, what in the
fuck is going on? It is, I've said it before, if I need spiritual guidance, I am not going to go to a white man. I'm not doing that. They have historically been the ones who've hindered spirituality. I don't get it. It's like watching a SNL character, but like something Steve Martin would do. It's very weird, and I don't get why she does it. I would assume it makes it almost seem scripted. Like she can't really think she's getting spiritual guidance from this weave whisperer.
This was an insane scene. It felt like it went on for 10 minutes. It had like levels and layers. There were montages within the one scene. At one point, she was like, "Do I stay?" He's like, "You can go." And like she like scuttled away. It was really good and fucked up. And I think Deandra is, and I think I might even have even said this as I was watching it. I was like, oh, Deandra's like the kind of rich girl who is like searching for something and like is still searching. And the shaman is just like her adult version of like chasing men in bands. You know, like,
why not just get a psychic? Why can't she just be a rich woman who goes to psychics? I don't understand that. This is a lie.
Good question.
I don't even mind her being a part of it. It's just because to me, it's like getting a secret from someone else. Like, Anthony, if you told Quinn something about yourself and then he told me, I'd rather just hear it from you, because this man clearly learned this somewhere else and then she's learning it from him. So I wish she went straight to like the culture that this comes from.
She can take a trip to Peru.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's weird. He seems like one of those guys that like, you know, he doesn't date white people. Like, you know, like I feel like there's a lot of cringeworthy things about this man. Like he's always inviting like, you know, people of color over for massages, you know.
I don't know people like that, but but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I trust it. Yeah,
that's the vibe I get.
Why doesn't she just go? She doesn't need to settle for, like you just said, a third-rate hairdresser who's now decided to be a shaman. She can just go right to the source, like you said.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Poor Deandra.
But this was a very Deandra-heavy episode, and I didn't mind it. Because then we moved on to her preparing to repair her relationship with her stepmother. So she took a phone call with Mama D. And my biggest takeaway from this phone call was when Mama D told us that Deandra's father married for looks the first time, which was her, and then for the second time married for money. And she said, so I said, why don't you get her nose fixed?
Wild. I was cackling. I can't believe this woman was saying this.
I know.
At her age.
Right before she had to go to church.
What a way to shit on your husband's second wife. And I didn't know that. So Deandra's stepmother is wealthy.
Apparently, yeah. He married for money.
But I thought part of the like problem between them was that she got her father's money. And that was like part of the tension between them.
Yeah, it's hard to detangle Deandra's backstory.
Yeah.
It all seems so fake.
Because everything everyone said is right, but it all doesn't like fit together.
Yeah.
When she was on the phone with Deandra and the mom was like, don't take any crap. The mom was being like very negative. And then like when Jeremy was like, look, you want to do this because like you want a relationship with these people. Yeah. And like kind of was able to frame, I won't even say just for Deandra, for me. Like, I understood the role Jeremy fulfills in Deandra's life.
Right.
Because, like, the mom was trying to rile her up. Like, getting her, getting Deandra to expect to have to defend herself. Which is something Deandra should certainly do, should she need to. But it was almost like Dee wanted Deandra, like, angry going into the meeting. Which doesn't sound like it went all that well anyway. It was like Deandra's so susceptible to going with whatever, like the last thing she hears is.
No, yeah, I think Jeremy's talked her down. Yeah, I think Jeremy's very likable this season. And I think the reason Mama D was like that is because she had such like a stake in this throughout her lifetime that she clearly has like a, she already has an opinion of this woman anyway. So like, she's like, why are you even doing this? She turned you down these times before. And she's angry about it. And she wants Deandra to feel the same.
I mean, from what we've seen from them, does it seem like Mama D would want her to have a good relationship with anybody else?
Definitely not.
So I think that's what we have here. We have not only that, we have another mother figure she could potentially have gotten along with. I'm pretty sure that Mama D has been sabotaging this relationship from the beginning.
Well,
know that.
That's tea.
Yeah, apparently. My second biggest takeaway from this phone call is that Deandra says she has to wear leather pants because that's all that fits her right now. Are leather pants your go-to fat pants? I had no idea what she was talking about.
At first, I thought it was a cow reference, but then I was like, she wouldn't be calling herself a cow, right? I didn't understand that.
I guess she just means because they're not like, you could buy leather pants that aren't skin tight. I guess, but like your pants don't need, no other kind of pant needs to be skin tight.
Right.
I don't know. I don't.
She doesn't have any yoga pants or anything.
Yeah. I don't own leather pants and I don't have like go-to fat pants. So I don't really.
My go-to fat pants are sweatpants, which I understand she couldn't wear that, but like even jeans with stretch or something. I feel like there are dresses she could have wore that are loose.
Yeah. And also, to be clear, I'm wearing shorts all the time, like sweatpants shorts. So I'm right. To be clear. So I don't really know. That is a tough one to figure out.
Yeah. I just wanted to make a note of that. So then we're still following Deandra. And this next part, when she went to meet the stepmother, this was dark for me when we got the title card that said she refused to film. I felt like I was watching an HBO show. Yeah.
This was incredible. I almost felt like I was there when they were in the parking garage. And Deandra was like, there she is. I was like, I know we're not going to see her, but like, I felt Deandra's anxiety.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was good. We saw like Jeremy kind of hanging out for a few hours. I liked it. I was into it. That's a good way. That's how you do a story where it's about you, but we didn't meet any of those other players.
Right.
And we didn't meet, I didn't feel like we lost anything. Like I was in it with Deandra.
Absolutely.
A good way to like use people in your life and not really use them.
Yeah. I knew Chelsea didn't watch Dallas, so I didn't bring it up. But when we were talking about Josiah and his father before, this is exactly what I thought about.
Yeah. Like Drew could have done a story about that situation that didn't have to include Josiah.
Exactly.
At least not at first, until it was Josiah's choice.
Yeah.
But this was a great, there was some good storytelling done this season in Dallas that I think actually other cities could maybe take a hint from. Stuff that like worked its way through the entire series, like Tiffany and her mother, Deandra's story. Like it started at the beginning and we've seen either like resolution or like a final thought now that we're rounding the end, which by the way, when it said that next week is the finale, I was like, oh, I didn't realize we were there already.
I know.
Like it felt like, not that I felt like I could watch six more episodes, but I just didn't expect it.
I agree.
Anyway, yeah, this was like a nice way to end this story and a good way to tell it.
I agree. And I agree with what you said. This is not my favorite city by any means, and I certainly don't like all of the players, but I do feel like editing and storytelling wise, this is one of the stronger cities we've had in a little bit.
Whoever's working from like the story aspect got us into a lot of the ladies. I mean, yeah. Definitely. Maybe not a lot, but definitely Tiffany, definitely Deandra, which is all I really kind of care about.
Yeah, yes.
So like, I like being on their journey. I will say, and I felt guilty about it, I enjoyed Brandy this episode.
Brandy is fun.
I thought she was kind of fun. When she went to South Fork and she was being like real sweet with the women, and then we flash back to like her being a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, I was like, oh, I forgot why I thought you were interesting in the first place.
Yeah,
like I kind of got it a little bit and I was into it.
Now is Brandy she's pregnant in these confessionals, right?
I believe she is, the one where she has her hair up and she's in like a,
and she's like in that black sequin. Yeah,
I think she's pregnant. Yeah, I was really into her. She seemed really light and fun. I like when, I think it was, she was like, let's take our shoes off. I know I'm jumping around. And get on this furniture and dance. And Cameron, I think, keeps her heels on.
Yeah.
Brandy's like, in the interview, it's not our house. And she like looked annoyed in the scene. I was like, oh, I'm into you.
Coming off of last week when it wasn't their house and she like got in the hot tub in that fur costume. Like, I think it's hypocritical, but this was a museum and they were doing stuff like that. Like, this is the Dallas TV museum,
which is nothing to say about what we're going to deal with next week, but I think we'll get there.
Let's talk about it now. We see it in the next week, like, trailer, but also halfway through the episode, we have a flash forward of Carrie, like, pulling the glass down from a closed off, just really fucking this whole museum up. She needs to go.
She's going full Tasmanian devil. And I don't understand why are we going to, like, go into Carrie having, like, an alcohol abuse problem? Because I feel like we could be headed towards there to describe her bad behavior when she drinks.
If she doesn't get fired because of the reunion or, like, after the reunion, I feel like that is how she'll try to turn it around next season. It's really the only thing she can do.
Yeah. I would be shocked if she comes back next season, if she's asked back. I will say they got me because I fast forwarded as soon as I saw Carrie and her daughters. I said, where's the remote? I swear to God, when I got to the part where I saw Carrie ripping the glass off, I thought, wait a minute, did something happen in this episode?
What did I miss?
Then I had to go back and watch the entire scene to understand, like, why we went there, which was fine. I didn't really need to do that. But I think they are trying to gently kind of, because all the daughters were like, so glad you're not following that same path as your alcoholic mother mom. You broke the cycle, and then cut to, like, Carrie tearing glass off the bedroom. So I think they're trying to, like, do that, but Carrie's just an asshole. There's no, like, gene for that.
You're right. Yeah. And we fast forward past that too, because I knew that you fast forward past Carrie scenes. So I was like, we're not going to be able to talk about it. So let me, I certainly don't want to watch it for no reason. But then when I saw that she was pulling the glass off, I was like, oh, I'll watch this part at least.
Yeah. I couldn't believe, like, how do we get there already? Like, it was like, oh, the finale's next week. And that I was like, interesting. Normally, like, when something like that happens, we have an episode or two to, like, decompress from it. But it sounds like we're getting a lot on Tuesday.
The finale's, I feel like, are normally boring, kind of. Like, we might get a little fight, but it's usually just like a launch party or like a vow renewal, something like where they know not to really act up.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, they filmed more and they're just, like, cutting it off because the ratings are pretty bad.
That's true. Possible. But I have no interest in going to this Dallas TV Museum, but the like, party itself looked fun. I think the costumes were great. And compared to the Atlanta murder mystery, this murder mystery company is, like, Academy Award winning.
Yeah, this was fun. I loved the costumes. I loved Tiffany Googling an 80s look and killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
She looks great. Yeah. This was fun.
I liked a lot of their looks. And I loved Deandra playing around and pretending to do cocaine, which I thought was, like, that's so Deandra.
Her go-to 80s move. That was incredible.
Yeah, I love Deandra this season.
Yeah, she's good.
I do too. She's, like, leaned into being, well, partially Leanne, but when she's not being Leanne, she's, like, this character that she decided to be is very entertaining and fun. And I like that she's, like, when they show her, like, holding Carrie to task for what she's doing. I love that too. Anybody that's going to cut into Carrie, I think
she truly hated working with Leanne. So she didn't even allow herself to have fun the past two seasons, because Deandra now just reminds me of, like, a more comical version of season two when I loved her then. So I feel like she was happy season two and now she's happy season five. And the 2 years in the middle, she was, like, hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. And I love all versions of her. I love when she's, like, sexy in the pool with her husband. I like when she's with the shaman. I like when she's basically, like, the Kathy cartoon in the interviews. And she's like, you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm like, ah! Like, I like all versions of her.
I'm a Distandra.
Same.
No.
We're gonna make merch.
Distandra. I love her.
Me too. Well, Quinn, that's the end of Dallas.
We had to end on that. Well, I'm ready to end after Distandra. Okay, so we did it yet again. What are our final thoughts?
I'll go, since we're already talking about Dallas. When they got to the South Fork Ranch and Carrie saw the bulls and said she wants to go cow tipping, is this not animal cruelty? Why was she so worked up for that, like, mountain man, but yet she wants to go push over these animals? Hello.
Good question.
That is a good question. I don't have an
answer. And you don't tip a bull, you stupid bitch.
That's called dangerous.
I wish she would have.
Grab his balls while you do it too. Anthony?
I don't know that Atlanta needs to continue with Drew Sidora. I don't. Mm. I think maybe we need to step away from the younger nieces. I would say maybe let Drew and Latoya go. We have people like Marlo and Shamia who we've gotten to know over the last few years, kind of, but let's get into their lives. Show me what Shamia's home life is like. I think there's a husband, there's kids, I think. Let's meet them. Let's meet like Marlo as someone taking care of her nephews. Like, there's a way to build into the cast that we already have, but I just don't think that Drew and Latoya are the direction that I would like Atlanta to go in.
I agree. I think there can be cast members with a niece energy, but still fit in with the aunt group. Like, Drew and Fallon are literally young enough to be Cynthia's daughter. They shouldn't be forced to hang out together.
Definitely.
And if that's they're true. Gonna do that, I would rather they just hire Noelle and, like, see family dynamic stuff.
Definitely.
I can definitely do that. I mean, not that I think that Noelle should be on the show either, but
no, but
I do get that. I will say for my final thought that Latoya isn't as bad as I thought she was. Like, she did grow on me on that last episode, and seeing her try and fail to nail Drew in the reunion, I did kind of find it endearing. She also, like, beat cancer so she could be at the reunion. So I think that that's great. I that's a starting place for me with her in a way that I haven't had before. So okay. That's it. Well, we did it. It's another weekend. I am going to say that you never know how much time you have with your loved ones. So make sure that you let them know that they are valuable to you and you reach out to them as much as you can. Know that.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, be sure to visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at KnowThatPod.
You can follow me, Anthony, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Real Donniewood on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me, Quinn, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter. Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.